I'm Trisha Helfer, and you are listening to After the Credits at row3.com.
Another episode of After the Credits, coming to you not live. I was saying live, not live. Coming to you from beautiful North Vancouver, which is very clouded over today. Studio 42.
This is the inspiration for, I think, the stories where your civilization is hijacked into something because you can't see the horizon for the fog.
No, you can't.
You're reading a lot into the weather.
Because it's kind of different considering the beautiful weather we've been having. I hope this isn't a preview of VIF weather, but
if this was the apocalypse, we'd hear screaming. That's the first sign.
Exactly.
Are your neighbors screaming in terror?
No, I don't hear any screaming.
Exactly.
So we're okay for now.
We're good.
Joined today by our co-host, as you may have noticed already. My apologies, I got off track.
Colleen.
Dale from Digital Doodles and Dale 42 on Letterboxd. And we do have sort of a live studio audience of like glass dragons.
Yes, we do. The dragon collection is quite nice. And Colleen is looking for something.
And one marionette left.
Which is impressive as all hell.
Just to creep everyone out.
Oh my God.
I know, isn't it amazing?
You mugged Pinocchio.
Exactly.
She totally did. It's kind of awesome.
Evil puppet theatry coming to you soon.
We will link to the website when it is live. But we are here to do the October preview.
This is fucking precedented.
It is.
When was the last time we did an October preview? Briefing.
Well, and this is the thing. We figured since we're going to be like in the middle of VIF craziness for the next couple of weeks.
Usually what happens is it gets so crazy leading up to VIF that the October preview goes
out the window.
It has for at least
two years.
Yeah. If not three.
So this year we thought, well, since we're doing the VIF preview, we might as well record the October preview as well. So I guess this is kind of a good place to start with a forewarning that there may be some titles that are missed off this list because we compiled it so early. We're a couple of weeks before October. We just hit the middle of September.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Don't figure.
Right.
But we did the best we could, and we've got some. I think we've hit most of the high notes, so we'll jump to.
I think the big ones will be.
That's what I was gonna say. I think that we have pretty much nailed all of the major releases, and we'll jump right in with October 4th and the release of the much anticipated Alfonso Cuarón Gravity. What is her name? My mind just
Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. Outer space 3D extravaganza that everybody's buzzing about.
It is. It's like I can't go anywhere on any of the sci-fi websites without seeing references to it.
Yeah.
I dearly wish I had saved this trailer to last. Instead of the very first one I watched, because this film made me so nauseous so fast.
All
that spinning around.
Yes.
I'm like, oh God, no.
Which is too bad, because I think it's one that you would probably really enjoy.
It looks
enjoy.
Fantastic. Yeah. Even fighting through the nausea kind of thing. It looks fantastic. It looks like, visually, it's just stunning. That said, part of me, I'm worried that I watch the whole thing and pick it apart. Like, you're in a spacesuit and there's debris whipping past you at what rate of speed, and you don't have the slightest puncture in your suit?
Yeah.
No.
Damn it! I just suspect I'd be real finicky that way. But it looks amazing.
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited for it.
Yeah, so am I. And it's not really a major concern, but my curiosity is particularly piqued because it's been playing the festival circuits for a couple of weeks, and we all know that festival audiences tend to be quite different from general public. And I mean, Cuarón isn't one to make movies that are, I mean, they're accessible, but they're not exactly easy to watch. Like Children of Men is accessible, but it's not a movie that had like a lot of widespread reach.
Not a lot of shit and giggles in it.
No, and it's I'm kind of curious to see how, because I mean the basic idea that you have two actors in space. I'm assuming for most of the movie you probably only have one actor in space. I mean, that's kind of a hard sell. So I'm kind of curious to see how that'll play to wider audiences.
It can be done, though. Look at Moon with Sam Rockwell. He was the only one in it for 98% of the entire film.
But I think that this has that same general appeal. I think it'll appeal to, like, some people, but I don't think it'll have the wide reach.
Yeah, like it strikes me, it's like that, oh, I can't remember the name of the movie, but where the guy was trapped by the rock and had to cut his...
Yeah, 128 days.
Yeah, I mean, it's that kind of single. And the actors have to be really on game to make that work.
So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. I mean, I'm certainly really excited to see it. I'm a fan of Goran's, but it'll be interesting to see how the general public deals with it.
Definitely. Like, you've seen Europa Report, right?
Yes.
Like, I think that's another one like that. Like, there's a definite crowd that really loves that, but I don't think it actually got general release to know, but I just can't imagine that it's like the same thing.
Yeah, and it's actually proving, I noticed yesterday there was a new trailer that appeared for another space movie, Last Days on Mars, which is the one with Liev Schreiber where he's leading an expedition on Mars, and it's basically body horror on Mars with a bunch of like character actors, which is like sounds amazing, and the trailer looks really great for the horror fans. But I mean, it could be the year that we get like three solid space movies, which doesn't happen very often. So I'm really excited. It's been a good year for space. Hopefully we get more stuff.
Yep.
I'm loving it. Also opening October the 4th, Runner with Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake. Timberlake plays a college student who's into online gambling. He loses all his money and somehow becomes involved with this guy that runs gambling rings. This title is really bad.
Yeah.
It's really quite awful. The trailer doesn't really do anything for me either.
No, I'm a little bit interested at first, but when the actual main storyline comes out, it's like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't really do much for me either. That said, during the trailer, I have to say, this is probably, watching Ben Affleck, it's one of his better roles for him.
Yeah,
it just seemed to suit.
It seems well-suited to him.
Well,
yeah.
Exactly. Well, the trailer that I saw anyway, where the first confrontation between Timberlake and Affleck, like that, there was like some really serious acting chemistry there. And that's when I started to get interested. And then it became just like this screw you over conspiracy kind of, and it's okay. I've seen those before.
The only thing that, I mean, I'm totally on board with you guys with Affleck and Justin Timberlake. I think they look really good here. And quite honestly, I didn't expect much from Lincoln Lawyer either, which is the other movie that Brad Furman directed, and I really love
Lincoln Lawyer. Oh, I like Lincoln Lawyer too,
so
yeah.
So I'm totally sold to give this a shot. I wish it was called something else, because the name is just so generic. Yeah. Every time I see it come up, I'm like, what movie is that again?
I know, I was looking at it on the list, and oh, what the hell one is this? And it's like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I remember the trailer.
Yeah, so
it's save time typesetting.
I guess.
Yeah, save money anywhere you can.
That's Bora, right. Bora, Bora.
Exactly.
With an exclamation mark, of course. Also opening October the 4th, I think this one is in limited release, Parkland. Yet another JFK conspiracy movie, though this one I think takes a slightly different turn. The events unfold at the Parkland Hospital.
I think he jumped.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I'll turn the page for you. Sorry. So this one actually captures the events that took place at the Parkland Hospital, where I guess they took JFK after the shooting.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds kind of interesting, mostly because Peter Landsman is a New York Times reporter who wrote, I guess, the article that this is based on. And he's written a number of articles on other subjects that have been turned into movies. He's making his directorial debut. He's got quite a cast. The trailer looks interesting. I don't know if I really want to see another JFK movie, though.
Yeah, it didn't do a lot for me. And again, you know, as soon as I see Paul Giamatti, it makes my skin crawl.
It's like, yeah, not
it
going
wasn't,
there.
It wasn't an, if I was interested up
to a point.
Yeah, and now I was like, I have to sit through a Paul Giamatti performance.
I mean, it does look like an ensemble cast, but I agree, actually. When I saw him trying to be indignant, it was like, oh, really? He was almost literally... There was, I think, two sour notes in the trailer. That's the one I remember, with like acting performances, because the rest of the actors were really compelling.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's one that I'll eventually see, but I have to admit I'm not really running out to check
it out. Yeah, I don't think I want to see this in the theater. I think, honestly, when I think about it, what really caught me was the period, like the cars and the clothing.
I'm a sucker and for everything. Period
me
pieces.
Too.
And,
me too.
And then, like, most of those performances, they were pretty compelling.
Okay, I hear loud yelling. Does that constitute like screaming?
Wake up, possibly. You know, it could be the onset of zombieism.
We're keeping our ears open for the apocalypse that's rolling in without us knowing it.
I keep hoping.
As we're recording the podcast, the apocalypse strikes. Moving on to October the 11th, we'll start off with Captain Phillips. This is Paul Greengrass's new film. Seems kind of a departure for him. It stars Tom Hanks, Catherine Keener, and it's a real life story about Captain Phillips, played by Tom Hanks, who was involved in a 2009 hijacking by Somali pirates.
I didn't realize he was put into a submarine with another person and then launched off the ship, though. I thought he was still captain on the ship.
I don't know the details of the story, so I really don't know.
It might be the premise based on a real story. Yeah. We heard the headline and we built a story around that
pretty
headline.
Pretty much. It's hard to tell. I really would only be interested because it's Paul Greengrass and I'm always sort of soft on him. So it's kind of like, yeah, I'm certainly curious. And I like Tom Hanks. I mean, that's kind of a given at this point.
He's vanilla pudding.
He is. I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, it'll be interesting to see because Greengrass is a pretty sort of like in-your-face director. Like, he's, I don't want to say violent isn't the right term, but he's very forceful with the way he shoots. So it'll be kind of curious to see how that plays into this story and with Tom Hanks. I mean, I'm curious. We tried to discern what they're saying. Dale, any thoughts on Captain Phillips?
The trailers I saw didn't excite me, no. I have to say, but it does look like the kind of movie that I could be interested in.
It won't be a hijacking, which we'll talk about a little later on the show. Also opening October the 11th, Machete Kills.
Oh, man.
Robert Rodriguez and his cast of merry bandits.
This looks so fantastically
awesome. I know, right?
I think this might be the movie I'm like the most excited about. It got the biggest like hit when I'm watching the trailers this morning. Definitely.
It's ridiculous. It's over the top. Yeah. It's totally retarded. I love every second of it.
Yes. I so need this right now. Just like...
Agreed.
Full acceleration, kick in the nitrous oxide. Give me insane, crazy.
You know, you show me Sofia Vergara in that bra with the guns. I'm so gay.
I haven't seen that since Dr. Goldfoot and
my
the Bikini
old
Machine.
Double D's. It was in... Austin Powers.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was spoofing Dr. Goldfoot, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm so excited. It looks hilarious. I'm game.
Do we even need to like tell people the plot? Probably not, but
well, I don't actually know if I know the plot.
Machete is the down and out agent they bring back for a mission.
Yeah, well, Charlie Sheen
as president of the United States.
Well, wait. He's not going as Charlie Sheen. He's going as Carlos Estevez. He's using his actual real
name.
Are
you serious?
Yes. He's billed as Carlos Estevez. I thought you guys noticed this.
No, I did not.
Yeah,
I didn't.
He's using his
original
name.
I did not know he actually was an Estevez. Like, yeah. Because I know Emilio Estevez is his brother, but I didn't realize that.
That is
He always
awesome.
Went by Sheen.
Well, and I had read an interesting article not that long ago about Charlie Sheen and why, like how he changed his name from Estevez to Sheen, like when he started his career, because Latino wasn't really a big thing. So he was getting more work because he had changed his name. And so Emilio Estevez decided to take his original name, the family name. And Charlie Sheen, I guess, went with his dad's name for, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, no, but for this one, he's actually going by Carlos Estevez.
Nice.
Which is, yeah. When I saw that, I'm like, oh, he's using actually, his birth name.
That would be really cool as an actor to have two separate sort of names to go by. You know what? I'm doing Schlock.
Yeah.
I'm going by this name.
Well, and authors do it all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pen names. Like, yeah. Why don't kind of authors do that? Or actors? You know what? Because every actor has to slum every once in a while. Yeah. And get a paycheck.
Yeah. We can think of a couple of those.
Exactly.
Right? So yeah, that's kind of interesting.
Shakespearean Charlie Sheen versus Machete Estevez.
Yeah, exactly.
Love it.
Also opening October 11th, the first of the Cumberbatch Invasion, The Fifth Estate, directed by Bill Condon of Breaking Dawn Part 1 and 2 fame. I just had to throw that in there because it's fabulous. So this is a dramatic reinterpretation of the events surrounding WikiLeaks and Dussange. The reviews out of TIFF have been interesting, mostly mixed, but whatever. It's Cumberbatch and Daniel Brühl, who I love.
I love Cumberbatch, but goddamn, he looks freaking bizarre in
with
this
film. White hair.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No eyebrows. And
that's kind of, have you seen Julian Assange?
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's a good spoof.
Par for the course.
I'm not sure I'd want to see a film with what's-his-face in it either.
I'm really interested about this. I don't know if I want to see it in the theater. It's just like that, forget what it was called, the one about Facebook, sort of like.
Oh, The Social Network?
Yeah, The Social Network. You know, fictional story, but based on something clearly that. Mm-hmm. And
from watching the trailer, I just get this impression that it isn't particular. Like, I know it's a story. It's mm-hmm. not an actual mm-hmm. documentary, but like they picked sort of like, okay, he is, to a certain extent, the hero of the story, and we'll run with that. And I'm not sure he is a hero.
But yeah. I saw more gray in there mm-hmm. with that. Like, so towards the end of the trailer. And that's what kind of has me interested in it, is whether they can, that whole, God, I'm going to sound so pompous, but, you know, that's the whole thing with art sometimes, right? Is like, you can represent the story in a way to get what the issues are out, but you're not necessarily true to all of the facts of the story, mm-hmm. but you're true to the greater mm-hmm. kind of issues at hand. And I'm hoping the movie does that. And it's kind of, it's why I'm curious to see it, to see how it, you know, lays all those issues out. But I don't know. Hollywood doesn't have a great track record for doing that. And on a pure entertainment level, I'm not sure that this is going to be great on that level.
Exactly. I'm not sure it's going to be the greatest story, and I don't think it's going to be particularly it's going to be edited for story content rather mm-hmm. than factual content.
That's the balance, right, of a good story, is the issues come out but they don't beat you over the head with it.
Yeah.
See, like King of Kong, I think it was definitely edited to make What's-His-Face look like a complete yep. douchebag yeah. Asshole. But you know what? That film was amazingly entertaining on its own right. So I could kind of forgive the fact that it looked like it was very biased.
Well, and if you've seen any footage of that guy since the documentary, yeah. He's a douche.
He is a douche.
I mean, they've captured the essence of his douchery.
Everything he said, yeah. He said.
Yeah, I mean, they captured the essence of his douchery. He really is a douche. My thing with this one is, and I think you guys are totally on the ball, I don't know how much of entertainment value there is here. I would really just watch it for the acting at this point because I'm a big fan of the two stars. And if you want fact, there is, earlier this year, there was a really extended, I think it's like 2 hours long documentary called WikiLeaks.
Right.
Yeah. Which is,
still on my list. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't love it. It's a little meandering, but if you're looking for facts, those are your facts right there. So, I mean, I'm really hoping that this managed to entertain to some extent. I'm with you, though. I don't know if that's the entertainment value is really there. But come on, it's Cumberbatch? Batch.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Sherlock.
Whatever. Yeah, Sherlock.
Sherlock cucumber.
Pretty much.
When does the new Sherlock come out? Damn it.
Next year, 2014.
Ah.
I know. I'm sorry.
All right.
Also opening October 11th. Oh, my teenage heart is beating. Romeo and Juliet. Yes, yet another interpretation of Romeo and Juliet. This one adapted by Oscar winner and TV superstar Julian Fellowes of Downton Abbey fame. Worth noting that he also penned the script for Paul W.S. Anderson's upcoming Pompeii, which looks ridiculous in all its interpretations, but your typical, it's Romeo and Juliet. We all know the story. Star-crossed lovers, blah, blah, blah. I like this cast. Hailee Steinfeld plays Juliet. Damian Lewis from Homeland is in this. And also Ed Westwick, who I last saw on Gossip Girl. I really liked Gossip Girl, so.
It looks pretty. It looks like they very pretty. Went to a lot of efforts to do their costuming. Like,
agreed.
But when it comes down to it, it's Shakespeare. I just don't fucking care.
I guess one thing to note is they aren't using the actual script. So it's not an iambic pentameter.
Yeah, it's an updated version, I guess.
Romeo and Juliet isn't my favorite play, and this is like actually done in period, which actually may be interesting because it seems like most of Shakespeare now is done in a modern, different setting.
Yeah. But
yeah, I don't... It's just not my favorite Shakespeare play. Yeah,
it's totally... It has Marina written all over it. It's not for everybody, but it works for me.
It's just like why I, generally speaking, don't like the current bands because I hear them all the freaking time. How many times do I have to like sit through a Shakespeare whatever?
Yeah. It's true.
It done to death, overplayed, oversaturated. They're the Rush of like,
you leave Rush for the fuck alone.
Rush is fine. And actually, lately they haven't been played nonstop every day on the hour.
I don't listen to the radio, so okay, that makes a huge difference. Don't fuck with Rush.
I won't.
I want to see them do Midsummer's Night Dream, like some of the comedies.
Yeah,
really. Like,
agreed. Agreed. I mean, it'd be nice to get some more variety on Shakespeare.
I
want to
see them do more Shaw. Screw Shakespeare. Shaw's the money.
Fun. Yeah. And actually, I mean, at some point, somebody will make the choice to take on another playwright, and maybe we'll get like more diversity.
Not while every single bookstore out there has like three shelves of Shakespeare and you have two other playwrights on that.
You know, Shakespeare, I think, just because so many actors come from that tradition and directors and that is...
Shakespeare's ivy. It grows to the extent nothing can grow around it, and it kills everything.
Almost. But
That is true.
Shaw, like, the importance of being earnest is Shaw, right?
Yeah, he's probably the second most...
That was done in the 50s, I think. I know I've seen it as a movie, and it was hilarious. I love that.
And I think there's been another version since of The Importance of Being Earnest, at least one.
But I haven't seen a version of Pygmalia has been done kind of thing.
But that's from the 50s, is it not?
No, there was one more recently. The musical, Just You Wait, Henry Higgins, Just You Wait, Eliza, Doolittle.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyways, Shaw's had a little bit done, but there's not a wealth of stuff out there that he's done that's amazing. I've never seen a Major Barbara done. And that's a freaking awesome story.
Well, it'll come eventually.
Whatever. Not while Shakespeare's taking up all the freaking shelf in the store library.
You never know.
Pardon me, that's my rant on Shakespeare again. Every time he comes up.
Whatever, it's all about the costumes anyways. Moving on to also opening on the 16th, Kill Your Darlings. I think this is another limited release sort of thing. Biography takes place in the 40s, Beat Generation, the beginning of it.
Oh, Allen Ginsberg, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of, I guess, their teachers is killed, and I think one of them is responsible. Apparently, no, it's not. I think it's a teacher. The trailer is a little bit confusing, and I read the Wikipedia entry on the event, and it's kind of a mess. So you have a bunch of up-and-coming writers, Salinger, Ginsberg, basically the Beat Generation before it was actually a thing. And there's this guy that sort of hangs around that has a crush on one of them, and he gets killed, and they think one of them is responsible. So there you go. Dramatic interpretation of those events.
Dun, dun, dun.
But a great cast, Daniel Radcliffe, Dane DeHaan, Ben Foster, who I really love, and of course, Michael C. Hall.
Yep.
And he gets killed this time instead of doing the killing.
Whatever works for you.
That might be a stretch now.
Yeah, that's right, at this point. Mind you, we haven't seen the end of Dexter yet, so anything is possible.
True.
You guys interested in this at all?
No.
Vaguely.
Vaguely. I got to say, it's all about the cast for me. Otherwise, don't
the
really
cast
care.
Is really good, but I'm not sure I'm interested in seeing a bunch of emo poets.
Thank you.
Talk about, oh my god, did they kill them? Did they not? Oh yeah, my god, what's going on?
That's my problem
snap,
too.
Snap,
that
snap.
That looks like there's
snap.
A little bit of drama in that trailer. You never know. Moving
too
on.
Too much sausage.
Too much sausage.
True, it is a sausage
it
fest.
It is a sausage
is
fest. Totally. Moving on to October the 18th, slowly seeing the horror movies creep in, including a remake of Carrie.
The only thing interesting about this is Chloe Moretz. Yeah. And even that, I don't think, is enough to sell me on,
I don't know.
On a remake.
Julianne Moore is the crazy mother.
I could go with
well,
that.
Well, she works. Yeah. But I've seen Julianne Moore do crazy before.
You know what?
Yeah, I think we all have. She's done a lot of crazy in her yeah. career.
There's nothing that I saw in that trailer that really sparked any... Everyone's done that, at least in that way, before.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't any new real sort of...
No.
I've seen the same performance by other actresses and that.
Actually, my favorite Julianne Moore going crazy is her walking down, running down an airport yelling cunt.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird one. I can't remember the title of it now. But yeah, it's something else. I think she says that word like four or five times and she does it with vindication. I was actually kind of curious about this because it is directed by Kimberly Pierce, who hasn't really worked that much since Boys Don't Cry. And I quite like her. But... I don't know. I thought that they might have been going in a slightly different direction. Oh, that I'd step on something and I think I unplugged something. Sorry, guys. I'll continue
okay.
talking.
You just continue.
And I thought it was going in a slightly different direction. But one of the new trailers that has popped up looks like they're going almost shot for shot for De Palma's original. And yeah. I just don't see the point in that.
I don't get that either.
So we'll see. I'm certainly curious because it is, you know, Carrie and I like the story, but I'm not sure how well it'll play out. I will tell you this, before anything else, I'm going to be seeing Escape Plan.
Yes. Actually, this
dudes
looks good.
Dudes.
It's the first Sylvester Stallone film that I've wanted to see since, I think, Demolition Man.
It's fucking awesome.
Oh, the Expendables yeah, has been pretty good.
Yeah, the Expendables series has done pretty well. But so we got Stallone as Schwarzenegger. And, you know, it's worth mentioning 50 Cent in there as well. But Sylvester Stallone plays like an escape artist who has a business that basically tests prisons to make sure that they're inescapable. So he takes a job to try to escape out of this new maximum security prison that they've created to see if it's actually maximum security. But it looks like they wipe his entire identity when they put him in there.
Yeah.
So he has to try to escape. And of course, in there is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's going to escape with him, whether he wants to or not.
Okay, you know what?
Fucking awesome.
I didn't recognize Arnold. Like, I knew him.
Yes.
But he looks so different in this from in my vision of what Arnold looks like.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It took me like a couple seconds to go, holy shit, that's Schwarzenegger.
We saw the film he did last year where he played the sheriff. So,
oh, yeah.
I was kind of prepared for
the last
look.
Stand.
Last Stand.
Oh, I didn't see that. So,
yeah. But yeah, the Governator aged him.
Yes, for sure. For sure. But you know, I'm really loving this sort of resurgence of the 80s action stars.
Yeah.
It's just. It makes me feel all giddy inside because I like these types of like, it's weird because really the only modern version of like Stallone and Schwarzenegger that we have now to me, I think is Statham.
Statham.
We don't really have, and maybe The Rock.
Not Ben Affleck. I'm doing.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know.
Born Identity. Why is my brain?
Oh,
stuck?
Damon. Matt
yeah.
Damon?
Matt Damon to a certain
to an
degree.
Extent. Yeah. When he's yeah. playing the action star, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, even these sort of stories, I mean, I don't know. It seems like these guys bring something different that's sort of nostalgic to me. I don't know.
You know why they're coming
it.
Back now? It's because movies are failing. And when were they most profitable? In the 80s and early 90s. Yeah,
exactly. Like, and I mean, the success of something like The Expendables just goes to show that people still want that.
Yeah.
Just we don't have the stars to fill those roles.
The teenagers in the 80s are now 40-somethings.
Yeah,
and They can appreciate a 50-year-old more than like a teenager can.
I never thought of that, but you're right. Like the way that those actors play those characters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, aside from, you're right, like there's that age appeal that you're going to have with us that grew up with them. But yeah, there's no young actor that has really captured like 20 something actor in the time when Bruce Willis was making his chops. So yeah. I guess it would be 30 something, but that have that real kind of understated toughness. And because the whole thing with those original ones is like all of those actors started out as they were just regular schmucks and there was some extraordinary call to action.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that internal toughness that made them, you know, into the hero.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that with this crop of 30-something.
No, we haven't. And it's kind of sad because we haven't seen that for a number of years. And like I said, to me, when I think about it, the only ones that you asked me to name an action star from like the last 10 years, I can only think of The Rock and Statham. Like I don't really know anybody else that would really fit that role.
Cage in and out a little bit.
Diesel.
Vin Diesel. Yeah. But, so three.
It pained me to same say era. That, but yes.
Yeah.
So there aren't really that many. And so I love seeing that these guys are coming back because they're filling these roles and I love these movies.
You know, Ethan Hawke, I think, could do it. Yeah, he's almost done it.
He's almost there. I think give him a couple of more years and a few more, you know, cheesy action movies and he'll be there for sure.
If he wants to do those. He usually goes for more artsy kinds of.
Yeah, he's kind of all over the place.
But I mean, like The Purge and.
We just need more Nicolas Cage Bad Lieutenant films.
I could totally go with that.
I could watch films like that day in, day out.
Shoot him again. His soul's still dancing. I'm still
kind of hoping for a Drive Angry sequel.
Yes, Drive Angry.
I want to see The Accountant again.
Yes.
That dude was awesome.
Oh, so great. So great. So, yes, we are very excited about The Escape Plan. Go figure. Moving on to October 18th. I believe that this is a limited release. I haven't seen a lot of details on a widespread release for 12 Years a Slave, but there you have it. Steve McQueen is back, reteaming with Michael Fassbender, and a huge cast of characters. Chiwetel Ejiofor, Brad Pitt, Paul Dano, Paul Giamatti. Sorry.
I know.
Kazane Wallace from Beats of the Southern Wild. And this is based on a true story of Solomon Northup, who was free man, kidnapped into slavery, was a slave for 12 years before being set free. And then he later wrote his memoir in the late 19th century. I think it was 1850 or something. It looks amazing. But then I'm a Steve McQueen fangirl.
I thought it looked great, and I'm interested. And even though Paul Giamatti does mar the film with his presence, it wouldn't take away that much from it. And I still am kind of interested in seeing it.
You know what? He almost played the character in the trailer that I saw, you know, like sort of a schmutz. So it worked. It wasn't the same sour note as Parkland.
Yeah.
He's really good for some characters.
Yeah. I'm kind of
forgiving.
I
don't know. He's just that guy that gets my goat every single freaking time I see him. The thing about Steve McQueen will always be a race car driver from the 60s. So every time I see that guy's name, I'm like going, corpse, zombie director. Yay. Yeah,
and totally not, right? Black British man, artist turned director.
His iconic role for me is still in The Great Escape.
Oh, totally. The motorcycle jump or the baseball? Yeah, and the baseball.
Yeah.
No, it's all about the cars, man. It is all about the cars. Whenever I think of Steve McQueen, I think about cars. But sorry, I got sort of
Steve McQueen cameo on Fast and Furious, huh?
Oh shit, man! Don't give them any ideas. They'll totally do it too. I would not put anything past them at this point. They're already talking about Kurt Russell being in Fast and Furious 8.
Oh jeez,
I haven't even done seven.
I would see that in the theater.
Well,
there's a guy who doesn't get enough work. I totally agree.
Have you seen pictures of him lately? He's sporting this like awesome beard. It's amazing. Awesome. It is really amazing. But sorry. Back to Steve McQueen's 12 Years a Slave. the buzz has been deafening. Everybody's saying, Oscar. Really? I don't care. I would see it anyways because it's Steve McQueen. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking it may be time to revisit Hunger. I don't know if my psyche can handle a Hunger and Shame back-to-back. Marathon, so it may be a couple of weeks in between. I better start now. I'm very excited about this one. Okay, moving on. October 18th, All Is Lost. Robert Redford on a boat by himself, surviving. Roll camera.
For an hour and a half. An hour 40 minutes.
Yes, an hour 46 minutes.
I will take Robert Redford over Tom Hanks any day of the freaking year.
True enough. Yeah. Agreed. True enough.
Agreed.
Having said that,
I can't handle an hour and 40 minutes of sea, especially with my stomach. Yeah. It's not going to happen. But even if it was on dry land and his boat broke and he was in the middle of the desert with his boat, and it was just an hour and 40 minutes of him basically on dry land with his boat, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah. I mean, Man Against Nature isn't really my thing. I mean, throw in an alien or a disease or something.
And then you're a little more...
Yeah, make it a genre thing and I might... But, I mean, having said that, it's... The man has serious skills.
Yes,
so
he does.
He has the chops to pull it off.
If there was a film of this type I was going to see, this would be the one.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you. I it'll be interesting to see how this fits into my festival schedule. I'll see it certainly after the festival, but...
Yeah, it's also playing at VIFF,
we'll talk about that when we do our VIFF preview. But and J.C. Chandler surprised a lot of people with Margin Call a couple of years ago. That was the one with Kevin Spacey about the insider trading.
Right.
And it was a big surprise because it was really, really well done. I think it might have just gone directly to VOD. I don't think it opened theatrically, but big surprise. So I'm certainly curious to see how this one plays out. And it's Robert Redford, so, you know. Also opening on the 18th, Paradise. This one is really worth mentioning only because it's Diablo Cody's directorial debut. Mm-hmm. She wrote and directed this, starring Juliana Hough, who? I have no idea how to pronounce her last name. But she's good old, I guess, I want to say Texas. I don't know if that's really where she's from, but... Good old Texas girl who survives a plane crash and decides that she's going to go out on the town and sort of live life.
Okay, I love her walk on the mild side. Like doing everything that the bad girl is not supposed to do, but doing it in such a way that it's so mild, like the dot for tattoo.
For the tramp stamp.
So yeah, going to get tramp stamp, one dot, and done.
So from what I know of like Diablo Cody's story, I'm sure this is drawn a lot from personal experience, but there's something about this style of story that's a little bit rose-colored glasses, like hard situations, but rose-colored glasses that I have a real soft spot for. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of drawn to this story. And Russell Brand, did you hear what he called Hugo Boss?
I fucking love that rant. I saw that on Tumblr and I wanted to cheer.
Man, I find him annoying sometimes, but I also find him brilliant sometimes. Yes. And there's some chemistry here, like I'm seeing on the screen. So I'm kind of like, I'm ready for this.
Russell Brand dialed to 4.
awesome.
Yeah. Dialed to like 7, I'm starting to get annoyed. When he's full on Russell Brand, I hate that asshole.
Unless he's doing like a stage monologue thing. Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, no, when he's just being sort of mildly clever kind of thing and like witty.
He can be really good. And he is a really like bang on comedian. I mean, the guy does not pull any punches. Like he puts it all out there. And yeah, that Hugo Boss thing was a big show of that. And yeah, I'm with you. I have a soft spot for these kind of stories. And I am really curious to see how Cody manages. I don't tend to love her dialogue.
Well, and that was, I'm thinking Juno. Like, I know, like, you initially, like, were really positive on Juno, and then in afterthought, you were like...
The love for Juno has sort of worn off. And the one I really, really like of hers is Jennifer's Body, which I thought
that was really well done.
Yeah, yeah, which I really like. And I do still love every time I see it, I'm kind of like, you know, that one is actually really smart. So I think she has... I just don't like her when she's super quirky.
Right.
But when she's just kind of on the ball, I really do like her style of comedy. So I'm really curious to see how this one plays out. And yeah, I'm with you. I totally love these sort of vanilla things. So I'll definitely check it out at some point. It's high on my list. Also opening October 25th, another one that is high on my list, The Counselor. Not because of Ridley Scott, surprisingly enough. Hello, Michael Fassbender.
Yeah, when I saw Fassie show up, it's like, well...
Fuck yeah! So
I see more like Tumblr pictures in my future.
Oh, my apologies for that. I didn't realize anybody followed me on Tumblr. it's where I go to.
I'm glad I'm not on Tumblr.
It's where I go to fangirl.
Let's put it this way. Yes, I go through that part of the feed pretty quick most of the time.
Yes. Well, you know, I put other good stuff up there, I swear.
Yeah, I did, Keish. Like, I'm still following you.
Okay, I haven't scared off Dale, so that's good. There are no naked pictures of anybody, I swear.
No, there are some epic pecs sometimes, though.
Yes, there are epic pecs. I tell you, Tumblr is where I go to fangirl. It's the truth.
She does not lie.
I do not lie. So if I'll put a link to my Tumblr if anybody wants to fangirl with me.
If you want some serious eye candy, not so much interesting to me, but
there is eye candy, lots of it. Trust me. So Ridley Scott... directing Brad Pitt, Michael Fassbender, and Javier Bardem as, like, I don't even know. The hair is awesome. But Fassbender...
I was thinking that, too.
The hair is...
That's a great look.
It's just, like, he looks insane. It's awesome. I love Bardem.
He kind of looks like one of those video games. Sonic, I think. Yeah. Sonic the Hedgehog.
What is it with that guy in hair? Like, you think about it, he's had a lot of roles where hair play a big part in how you, like, immediately picture, like, when you see the character, you kind of, like, you get an idea of who he is. And it's all about the hair with him. It's really weird. But Fassbender is a lawyer who gets involved in drug trafficking. Shit goes wrong, obviously. Otherwise, there would be no movie. Yeah. It's Ridley Scott. It'd
be a really short movie.
This is the kind of movie that Scott's brother would usually make.
Right.
Right? At least that's the feeling I get from it. When I saw the trailer, I'm like,
yeah, this is weird. This didn't seem like a typical Ridley Scott project.
No, but it's certainly something I could see his brother make. So it feels
Tony, right?
Yeah, Tony Scott. So it kind of feels like maybe it's a bit of an homage, which I thought was kind of nice. Mm. And who am I kidding? I'm so seeing this.
I wasn't sure, but having said all that, this isn't typically my kind of story. Like the whole... I'm not sure what emotion is in there, but it's ramped up to 10, whatever it is.
It's like The Savages for me. I like The Savages. I don't care.
It was good. I liked it too.
Yeah, I was a big fan. I'm like, bring it on. Keep it coming. And this kind of...
Especially the Palm Springs sort of like a old lady sort of like a cheer squat. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's awesome. So yeah, I'm a fan. Bring it on. And then, not wrapping up the month, but getting close. Also on the 25th, the Jackass crew is back.
Oh, man.
Bad Grandpa.
I like the line that they have it in here. Johnny Knoxville is pretty much the only person who can get away with what essentially amounts to a big screen tribute to Sacha Baron Cohen.
I laughed at that,
How good of a
too.
Summary is that?
It's pretty awesome. I will admit, this is generally not something I would be interested in. The trailer, I've seen it twice. Both times I laugh uncontrollably for a few minutes after I finish. So I think I may have to see the movie. Maybe not on the big screen.
There was a few... Yeah, I didn't laugh at all in the trailer.
I didn't laugh at all. And you know what? It's weird because Jackass was very hit miss for me. There'd be like that half hour thing. One thing would make me laugh and the rest of the time I'd be just staring going, you did it wrong.
Yeah.
Like,
you did it
I
wrong.
I could have improved on that highly and not been injured.
Colleen should be doing Jackass. Mm. Is what we're getting at.
Yeah. It's safety, safety, safety. Preventative. Like, you have to think about what the outcome's going to be.
But that's not what they're selling, right?
I know.
They're selling the ridiculous aftermath.
Part of me is aftermath. You built that wrong.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I felt kind of gross by the fact that I laughed and the fact that I laughed both times I saw the trailer. Because I showed it to Dan. I'm like, what do you think of this? And we both laughed. And I'm kind of like, oh, God, we're going to have to see this. I don't know whether I should feel dirty about that or not.
I think I'd rather watch the episode of the Finnish guys who have a show like Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember.
The Upsons or something?
Yeah, I can't remember their name. Somebody pointed them out. Maybe you did.
They're fantastic. They're way better than the Jackass ever was.
I almost... Not quite sure what the format of the movie is and how long the different scenes are. I almost think I want to see like a really condensed best of.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you're right. A couple of those things were, I thought, funny.
He runs over the penguin and the guy's going, you're paying for that.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm like, sir, was I supposed to laugh at that?
Yeah.
But, yeah, and some of it was like lame. So, I mean, for a whole hour, like as a 3-minute clip, yeah, I can deal with that, but I just have a hard time.
The scene that gets me every time is the kid talking to the woman standing outside the beauty salon, I think it is, and he's basically calling her a hooker.
Yeah,
I'm gonna call you Cinnamon.
that is so inappropriate. You know, and it totally cracks me up every time.
As a movie thing, I'll laugh, but that's a real person.
Yeah, I know. And that's why I don't know if I feel a little dirty about the fact that I laughed at it. That's the thing I'm trying to grapple with is, should I feel bad about the fact that I laughed at that when it's completely inappropriate? And it is. It's totally inappropriate.
Well, I mean, that's part of humor. But I think there's ways that you can deal with stuff like that without singling out somebody to... pick on.
I'm feeling that I may not watch this, just save my soul a little bit and just skip it altogether.
Although I will admit that Johnny Knoxville did that film where he faked being a Special Olympian. I loved that film.
I don't remember that one.
I forget what it was called, but yeah, he wasn't a particularly good athlete, but then he realized the Special Olympics were coming. He could totally kick some ass. So he basically decided to go the full retard sort of thing.
Oh, God.
To quote Tropic Thunder, no one does the full retard.
No one goes full retard.
Now I'm thinking of that joke out of Orange is the New Black. It's like...
Which one?
He's not a penguin.
Okay, Red is amazing.
Kate Mulgrew, yeah.
Kate Mulgrew is amazing.
From the bridge of...
Fuck. From the bridge of Voyager. Into Orange is the New Black, where she plays Red. Is she Hungarian?
Russian. No, she's Russian.
Yeah, she... how far have you gotten? Have you finished it?
I finished the first season.
I won't go into any spoilers, but when she takes over the business... Like when she's sitting at the table with the guys and her husband comes in and he kind of looks over and they ask him to get coffee, I cracked up so bad. She's amazing. I love that show. I really do. But we'll quickly just wrap up the month because we have a few more things to talk about here. At the end of the month is Limited. I think this is going to VOD. Skinwalker Ranch. I'm surprised it's the only... We don't have any Saws or anything this Halloween, which is kind of bizarre. Yeah. So this is kind of the only other sort of thriller horror thing that we have.
You know, it's crazy how much there isn't Halloween fare.
Mm-hmm. It's really kind of surprising. But found footage film, there really isn't a whole lot kicking around. There's a scene. Basically, the basic idea is a kid goes missing off the ranch. The video footage that they get is looks like some sort of alien abduction. Police are investigating, and they think the parents did it, blah, blah, blah.
That scene looked awesome, but I'm not sure how that's going to carry on into... Because there's no hints of anything else.
Yeah.
Hey, did they spend the rest of the time with their fingers up their butt? Like, just going, my son is gone? Like, I don't get anything else from it.
Yeah.
One scene's not enough to sell me.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure we'll get a trailer at some point.
One scene in this case is not enough to sell me. Sometimes it's enough.
Well, and then it'll be curious to see if it picks up any more steam closer to the 30th, because, like we say, there isn't a lot of horror movies coming out, so... Maybe this one will get a bit of traction because of its timing.
Has it come out at any of the festivals yet?
I haven't seen anything on it yet.
So no buzz, really? Either.
No, none. Like, the only thing that we have is literally that one clip, and that's it.
Wow.
So, kind of came out of nowhere.
All right, then.
Moving on to some local stuff. There's lots of great material after the film festival. The Cinematheque is running a Visible Verse Festival, which is... they're basically screening movies that are tied into local cultural events that are going on. And the one that I just wanted to mention, because it's close to my heart, Marisa and the Story of Fado, which is in conjunction with a concert she's doing at the Chan Center. So if you're into traditional Portuguese music... This is the movie to see. And surprisingly, there's a big fan base for Fado the world over, which I don't understand because nobody knows what they're singing about unless you actually know the language. But it's all very sad. Not all of it, but most of it has a very sort of down...
If not mournful.
Yeah, mournful is the exact term. Excellent choice of words. So if you're interested in the Story of Fado, this would be the movie to see. And that's only playing one night on the 17th. Cinema Sunday, their all ages show this month is Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, which is good timing for Halloween.
It's a horrible film.
I've never seen it. I couldn't tell you.
You know, I'm not an Abbott and Costello fan at all.
Neither am I.
I do not get the lobby. It's like people who rant about how Bob Hope was the greatest comedian ever. I'm like, really?
They did a whole series of them.
Yes, that's the only reason I know the name is familiar. And I know Dan is a fan, occasional fan.
I have, as a kid, I ate those movies up. I have not watched an Abbott Costello film as an adult to know whether to leave it in the childhood memories or not.
It's weird. Comedy from, like, yesteryear does not cross over for me at all. Like, even listening to radio programs, which I'm addicted to, if it's a comedy, I don't bother listening to it because I just don't
work for you.
Get it. Yeah. And I get the same thing from most like television movies like Abbott Costello and all that. Even like the Three Stooges, like I can kind of appreciate it, but I don't get it.
Even as a kid, I didn't like the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I've never been a fan.
The Marx Brothers,
either.
The only one out of that entire sort of vague genre that I loved, I love Buster Keaton. For some reason, his lack of expression at all times, like he was under contract, he was never allowed to smile. You will be hard pressed to find any picture.
Which is
of
one
Buster
of the I think it's one of the reasons that it works for him.
Well, he's so expressionful with his eyes and like his like just one raised eyebrow kind of thing, like can imply so much. It's crazy, but the comedy is so punny and kind of over the top, sort of retarded. I just don't get Abbott and Costello. Never will.
I mean, it's worth mentioning that they are screening it for kids. Their Cinema Sunday series is essentially targeted at kids.
Interesting.
So it's pretty much the only time that Cinematheque does all ages shows, and they're in the middle of the afternoon. I think they're at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. So go figure. They have some a nice sort of collection of classics as well. Tchaikovsky's Nostalgia. It's a new print. La Ventura. Wings of Desire, which I've never actually seen on the big screen. Might be kind of interesting. Nosferatu, which I guess is their go-to Halloween choice. And Xavier Dolan's retrospective continues with screenings of Lawrence Anyways. The Van City really is outdone themselves. I am so excited. I may have to spend like the last week before Halloween at the Van City Theater, like living there. Camille Clotel, who I guess was a sculptor, who I can't figure out if she actually put herself into the institution or if somebody put her there, but she was institutionalized for like a year or something. I guess she's a famous sculptor. I have no idea who she is. I'm not that much into the art world. But stars Juliette Binoche. She covers that 1 year that she was institutionalized. It's also playing a VIF, which is sort of kind of interesting that it's playing at the Van City right after the film festival. So if you can't make it during the festival, you can watch it after the fact. Muscle Shoals, documentary by Greg Camallier about Muscle Shoals, Alabama, which is like a hotbed for rock music and blues music. Hmm. Interesting cast of interviewers, including Rolling Stones, and it looks really great if you're into music. It's a great music doc. A Hijacking, playing one night only. I've seen this, highly recommend it. It's about a hijacking on the high seas, and you kind of see the two sides of the hijacking. You see the ship owners trying to deal with the pirates, and then the people on board and how they're treated. It's really amazing. It's a really fantastic film. It's not an easy watch. It's kind of dark, but it's highly, highly recommended. And they're running a new series called The Best Film You've Never Seen, which is taken from a book written by Robert K. Elder, who did a bunch of interviews with people in the movie industry, directors, actors, that kind of thing. And they basically put together a list of movies that he then turned into a book, which are great movies that are sort of gone by the wayside. And I guess the Van City is doing a new series where every month they're going to be screening one of the movies from the book. And the very first one that they're showing is The Swimmer, which is from like the late 60s, which I've never seen.
I know nothing about this movie.
Yeah, neither do I. And so it's kind of, I like this concept. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what other movies we get over the coming months. So for Halloween, this is what made me super excited. They're kicking off Halloween with a 40th anniversary presentation. And this is the world premiere of Sexula. Do you guys know anything about this?
No.
Okay, so it was directed, it's from the 70s, I think it's from 74. It's directed, it's local. It was made locally.
Your post about.
Yeah, so this was made under the tax shelter.
Right.
When that was like a big deal. So this is government funded. It's essentially a sex film. It's porn, but it's like Grindhouse. And I guess they showed, one screening.
Is it actual porn or is it more of the sexploitation?
I think it's the sexploitation.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've never seen it. So I don't actually know.
Well, the fact it's Canadian too.
Yeah. I mean, made in Vancouver. Yeah. I mean, this has like awesome written all over it. So I'm totally going. I mean, and the apparently it screened once for a cast and crew, and then it was lost for a while, and then it was purchased by some academy that collects things, and they've restored it, and now they're doing like the world premiere screening in Vancouver. This has like cult awesome written all over it, so I'm very, very excited to check this one out. And it's only playing once, October 25th at 10:30. It's a Friday night. So I'll be downtown on Friday night.
Let's invite it worldwide online because...
They should invite Stephen Harper.
Oh. Well, this is 40 years ago, too, so it would be like Trudeau.
Stephen Harper, just so they get lots of like negative press to put it in the headlines. Yeah.
That's so awesome. So awesome. Some other interesting stuff that they're screening. They're doing a live musical accompaniment of 1922's Haxan, Witchcraft Through the Ages. I've never actually seen the film, but I like the concept of the silent movie with the live accompaniment. That's playing two nights. Ken Russell's The Devils. Have you guys seen The Devils?
Yeah. No.
I have not.
Yeah.
And it came recommended the other day because our next Movie Club podcast is actually The Devils and Possession.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning...
Speaking of sexploitation films.
Well, yes. I mean,
but with like mainstream A-list actors.
Yeah, exactly. So
Vanessa Redgrave.
This is the thing.
Oliver Reed.
I've had Possession on my to watch list for a while, and I've sort of been saving it. So I think I may have to do a Halloween double bill. they're also showing Mario Bava's Black Sunday and Dario Argento's Inferno, which is one of the lesser seen Argentos, so that's kind of cool. And that's it. I wanted to sort of mention as we go, because this is kind of awesome, but Kickstarter recently...
For Cinematech.
Yeah, so Kickstarter recently came to Canada, I think at the beginning of September. And oh. one... Yes.
Really?
Yeah, there's now Kickstarter Canada.
I thought it was just one of those, like, we have an American account that so we can use it.
No, I mean, that they've always had that. I mean, I've been funding Kickstarter campaigns, and I'm in Canada.
Yeah, but to actually start a campaign.
You'd have to be in the States.
Yeah.
You have to have an American address.
Yeah.
Because I know some local people that have done Kickstarter campaigns, but they have to go through the U.S.
Yeah, you get a Sumas post box.
Or something. Yeah. You have to have an American bank account is the big catch-all, right? So they recently launched Kickstarter in Canada so that Canadian projects can be put up from here.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I need to start a project. Will you fund me if I have a project?
I kind of like Indiegogo better anyway.
And I don't. I don't know if I really have a reason for that.
As a donor, I find Indiegogo nicer than Kickstarter. Kickstarter's a pain in the ass.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And I'm the other way around, and
really?
I don't know why. Because I mean, for Indiegogo, for Kickstarter, they use Amazon Payments, and I'm already set up with Amazon.
On Kickstarter.
Kickstarter wants you to create an account, so I have a couple of accounts. Just like I use a new email address every time. Like fuck you, Kickstarter. I just want to donate. I don't want to get into your fucking accounting system.
Oh, okay. And yeah, and like I say, I already had an Amazon account, so it's like literally one click. So it's really easy for me. But I'm off track. What I really wanted to get into is that the Cinematech, shortly after Kickstarter Canada went live, they posted a funding campaign to upgrade their system to DCP. They want to go digital.
Yeah.
And they're trying to raise $20,000, which is, I guess, the hole that they have left. The entire thing costs like $60,000, and they've been saving.
Yeah, they already have a nest egg for it.
Yeah, so they're just trying to raise the rest of the funds to get this digital system installed sooner, which is actually kind of interesting. I never really thought about it, but it would make sense why certain movies are only shown at the Cinematech during the film festival and why they only get a certain type of film. Because they can't show digital.
Yeah,
so right. if you have a digital projection, you can't actually
it's
do it at the same time.
It's getting to be more and more of an issue now.
Yeah, and that's their concern. A lot of the new traveling sort of retrospectives are only available on digital. And if you can't show digital, then you can't bring it in.
When you think about what a pain it is to ship like actual mm-hmm. film stock mm-hmm. and like the deterioration of it and the storage of it and... It makes sense. A digital file, in theory, you can have it sent by email to you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's certainly a new step for them. I'm really happy. Like, I complain about Vancouver sometimes, but it made me really warm and fuzzy inside because I checked the Kickstarter campaign yesterday. They were only like 10 days in, maybe not even that, and it's already half funded.
Nice.
With like 40 days to go. So by the time this goes live, it'll be closer to the date, but the campaign ends October 24th. It's all or nothing. If they don't get the $20,000, they don't get any of it.
Yeah.
So if you have a couple of extra bucks, you like movies... I can't recommend this highly enough. Support your local Cinematech. It's a good thing. Everybody wins.
They show stuff that you're not going to be able to see anywhere else. At the local Cineplex, that's for bloody sure.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's my little plug for the Cinematech. I do love those guys and I love what they do. So thanks for bearing with me on that. And that's it.
I have one question since you're in the know about all. Van City.
Yeah.
The theater that's on... Davey and Seymour. Whatever. Is that now no longer going to be? Because I was reading that the Van City now has another office or something like that. Like the theater more Gastown way or something like that.
No, I think they have a separate office space.
Okay.
But no, the theater isn't going anywhere.
Because they're using theaters at that location in Gastown for the film festival. I'm like going, whoa, did they... find a better place or cheaper place?
No, they own that space. That space was gifted to them. Mm-hmm. Basically when it opened, I think they paid some money into it, but essentially when the building was built, it was that space was gifted to the Vancouver International Film Festival Society or whatever they're called.
Yeah.
So they own the space.
Well, I didn't know. Maybe that piece of real estate is worth more and like they can get a better thing and have three theaters and that.
I haven't heard any details on that. That's interesting.
I just sort of got nuggets while searching for venues and things like that. I'll have to take a look.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Okay.
And as far as I know...
I'll stop spreading rumors.
As far as I know, they're staying where they are. But anything is possible. It'd be kind of goofy to give up that spot, though, because they've got... It's a great location. People know where it is now.
It's the nicest seats in Vancouver.
Yeah, well,
then, other than maybe the 315, but that's not really a theater.
That's not really a theater.
Right.
I don't know what they're using it for now, but certainly not movies.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, even the First Weekend Club used to do their events there. They don't do them there anymore.
Weird.
Yeah, now they're doing them somewhere else. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But yeah, the Van City, best seats in town.
Mm-hmm. We were there yesterday and danced with Dan. And he's like, I love this place. They have the best seats in town. Mm-hmm.
You have an armrest that's big enough for two full arms.
Yes.
And they have beer.
Yes, they do, which is amazing. I love it. Anything else you guys have to add before we sort of wrap up Bucktober?
No. Looking forward to VIF. But I'm always looking forward to VIF.
Yeah, this will go up probably... Actually, no, this will go up before... Like, just as VIF is about to start. That's awesome. So,
sorry, WIF. I love WIF.
Oh, WIF.
WIF.
Sorry.
Whistler Film Festival.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent on VIF.
I mean, we can talk about that in the VIF podcast, I guess.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay, well, we'll wrap things up here. Come on by row3.com. Check out the links to the trailers. We will put all of those in the show notes. The other podcasts... Worth. I don't know what happened to the Cinecast. I think is on hiatus at the moment because of the film festival. And Mamo has been doing very little film festival coverage.
Well, Gamble and James have been blogging or podcasting.
Yes. So.
Is it crass to pitch your other Before the Dawn?
No, not crass, podcast. No. I guess not. I've never thought to pitch it, but
If you're interested in genre,
yes,
Marina and Shannon.
Yeah, we're doing we'll
give you way too much information.
We recently rebranded our podcast that once used to be about Twilight. We've taken a turn for doing more book to movie adaptations.
Nice.
So if you're into that, that's basically what we've been covering over the last couple of months. We're slowly sort of finding our way. We still haven't quite finessed it because it seems that like once you start looking for book to movie adaptations, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to kind of pick what we want to cover and what we don't want to cover. So our new shows are kind of all over the place because we try to sort of cover as much as we can of what we like. I'm sure there's more out there that we're not even aware of. But for our theme shows, it's very much just stuff that interests us because otherwise there's really no reason for us to watch it. Because most of our theme shows tend to be like extended discussions.
Those are pretty boring conversations if the two hosts are like not interested in the content.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you think? Yeah, pretty much.
That's why 3 is the magic number in announcing discussing on podcasts, because if someone isn't interested... At least the other person will probably go, wow, they don't want to talk about that, and we'll pick up the slack.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, we like the direction that it's going in. We just need to sort of finesse it a little bit more, and we're finding our ground. But I think it's going quite well. So yeah, if you like booked movie adaptations, and yes, it gets very genre specific because we're both genre girls. So
yeah,
we like we squeeze one in that sort of does not belong. Like recently we talked about Arena. Which is not a book to movie adaptation, but we threw it in anyways.
It's your podcast and you can do what you want to.
Kind of. Yeah. That's sort of the route we take sometimes. So yes, it is genre heavy. Very much so. It'd be nice to actually do. I don't know if there's enough material to do a genre only podcast.
But oh, hell yeah.
I would love to try my hand at that.
Yeah, I think so.
That would be fun. But we're off track.
I'm actually... especially having grown up in an era where genre stuff was really looked down on, especially science fiction fantasy, mm-hmm. I'm just blown away at how mainstream it is now and how most of the big movies have elements of that. I mean, back in the day, like, it's really hilarious when you're watching some of the early stuff, like they're explaining some of these time travel tropes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now they show up in commercials. It's just like assumed. Yeah. You know that blah.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
We're just going to riff off of it.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of mind boggling sometimes.
Yeah.
I have those Louis C.K. moments.
And it's funny how we sort of just become accustomed to that and don't even realize that
yeah.
not that many years ago, you never would have seen that. It's really impressive.
I was so genre before it was cool.
Yeah.
It's, yes.
Oh, God.
That needs to be a t-shirt.
Oh,
that
you was genre. Hipster roller derby nihilistic.
I was into roller derby years ago before it was cool. Hipster.
I was into roller derby the first time it came around.
We were like podcasting before podcasting became cool.
Yes, we were. That is reality.
Yeah, we kind of were.
That is a reality. Actually.
Well, you know what? What's the average lifespan for a podcast? Like about five episodes? Before they're done?
We're almost under 20. We're almost at 200. Almost there.
That's because we're awesome.
We are awesome. Well, and it's funny because when we started, we were recording like every week or every second week.
Oh
right?
My God, that was a grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, for a long time, we were like, we were really pulling them out. I mean, the fact that we still do this and we only get together like once a month to record is impressive. Yeah.
You and Shannon, I've been doing this
circa episode 6, bitches.
Yes, that's right.
I'm still the newbie.
I don't know about that.
The new Skype, the doing it remotely so you don't actually have to try and get into like a single location. Yeah, that's a...
It's a real boon if you're going to do Skype.
I don't know if I would do Skype particularly, but yeah, no, you can see there's the whole co-host thing has gotten progressively easier when
yes.
you don't actually have to like
be in the same room.
Yeah.
That said, it's a lot easier to throw the mic to someone else if you can actually make eye contact like glare at them until they stop.
Well, and that's the thing that I found with Shannon, because I mean, she's in Toronto, I'm in Vancouver, we're like on the opposite coasts. So, I mean, the first couple of times it takes a while to sort of get used to, and after a while it just comes natural,
rhythms,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, the rhythms of your co-host and, you know, when they're talking, when they're not talking, when you can jump in. And I mean, that's just something that you sort of feel out. But yeah, I don't know if I would recommend listening to our early episodes, because I think they're a little rough around the edges.
That's good.
Except
I didn't
the
go
Bruce
back.
Campbell one.
Well, no, that's here, though,
oh,
our
yeah,
show.
Sorry.
And yeah, I mean, that's in the archive. And that's when we brought you on.
Yeah.
You were our Bruce Campbell expert.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah, Val was going to be number three. And
that's
she kind
right.
of
that's,
lost interest in.
That's right.
She was out by about episode 9, and I just never left.
Yeah,
it's true. You were the guest that never went away.
I know.
Away.
See, I drove her away. I drove poor Valerie away from her podcasting career.
I don't know how much of a career she had an interest in for podcasting, but.
Yeah, no.
but we're,
anyway, yes. Now it's a podcast because we went way off topic.
Yeah,
so
we're totally
we can wrap it up now.
We're totally being nostalgic. So go figure. So be sure to come on by row3.com. Check out the other podcasts. Stay tuned for our VIF coverage. There will probably be a lot more podcasting coverage than there is written coverage, because just for time's sake, that's. What's easiest. We'll have some special guests on board as well, which is really great. And if you are looking for VIF written reviews, most of them will probably be posted at Quiet Earth. So quietearth.us is your address there. And that's it. Sue, until next time.
We'll see you after the credits.